Welcome to your new day.
This is Early Breakfast with Africa Milani.
Stats SA publishing the quarterly labor force survey for quarter three, 2021, that saw the unemployment rate increasing by half a percentage point to 34.9%. What role will promoting entrepreneurship have in addressing that? Joining me on the line from the University of Stellenbosch is Professor Andre Roux. Andre, very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa, and good morning to your listeners. Thanks for inviting me.
When one looks at developing nations or developed nations, I'm looking at a nation like Singapore, for example, which in a space of 60 years has gone from a system of governance and economy that was heavily reliant on a centralized power allocating resources to the majority of the people and them being thankful for whatever they were given, to now probably one of the most entrepreneurial spirited nations in the world. That would have seen a definitive shift in, the empowerment of Singaporeans, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, Africa. And if we kind of relate that to our own situation, the figures that came out a couple of days ago kind of highlight what you're saying there. If I may, just without getting bogged down in too many numbers, but we saw from the latest figures, obviously, as you pointed out, an exceptionally high unemployment rate. Now, it's exceptionally high, but I think the point to remember is it's been very high for a long, long time. It happens to be somewhat higher these days, mainly because of COVID, but it's been at or about 25% for more than a decade, which is telling us there are some structural problems in the economy. And one of them is that, and it's going to sound awfully cruel and harsh, but in today's modern economy all over the world, the idea that everyone is owed a job is becoming a little bit outdated. As I said, it's going to sound cruel, but a producer, big or small, can elect to use labor as a production factor, but doesn't have to. So when you have a situation where labor is deemed to be, well, take your pick, too expensive, underskilled, too much of a schlep, then there's a temptation to rather employ machinery or equipment. The bottom line really is that all over the world, we are finding people realizing, you just quoted Singapore as an example, that you're not owed a job and therefore increasingly you have to create your own jobs. And in fact, self-employment is one of the fastest growing kinds of employment all over the world. In South Africa, just to add to this reality, as we know, the figures showed us again that unemployment amongst the youth, those aged 15 to 24, is in excess of 60%. Now, we're not talking here about school children going to school or going to university. It's those who have left the schooling system actively seeking a job. More than 60% fail to do so. Along with that, more than 3 million young people aged 15 to 24 are called NEETs, not in employment, education, or training. They're not at school, not at university, and not employed. That's over 3 million. So one would like to think that there are millions and millions of younger South Africans, well, all ages, but young South Africans who have lots of energy, lots of vigor, lots of enthusiasm, and we would like to see that being translated into entrepreneurial activity.
And how do we go about doing that, Andre? How do we shift the paradigm, the mind space, if you like, within South Africans to realize that, no, government does not owe me a job. In the previous hour, I was talking to a listener who says that all jobs in South Africa should be for the exclusive occupation by South Africans and not African nationals. And I'm going, in the modern world that we live in, migrant labor is a reality. You'll go to any developing and developed nation and you'll find jobs that are primarily occupied by foreign nationals because the nationals of the country deem it either too low in its regard or status or whatever the case may be, or perhaps it does not earn them enough money. So that will be a reality. How do we shift from a nation of, you know, that job is owed to us, to how can I create opportunities not only for myself, but maybe for the 5 people around me, or the 10, or the 50, or the 200?
Yes. Well, just before I answer the question directly, just taking your point, you know, one can take different views about so-called migrant labor, and sometimes controversial ones, but we are finding that many of the so-called illegal immigrants into this country are indeed displaying the kind of entrepreneurial verb and skill and energy that we are lacking. So I think we've got to be careful about being too critical about, you know, people crossing borders. That's the nature of the game. How do we instill that in South Africa? Well, I suppose it's a combination of a self-realization by people, by job seekers, that no one owes them a job, and certainly not government. We need to instill in young people the idea that it is possible to create your own job. You might only employ one or two people, but so be it. You know, if we take one of many examples, we have a desperate shortage of artisans in this country, plumbers, boilermakers, and the like. And unfortunately, one gets the impression that society almost frowns upon these kind of professions for their children, almost as if they're saying these are second-class kind of occupations, which is far from the truth, of course. These occupations are highly sought after and very well paid. But I think the name of the game is that people pursuing these occupations should become proverbially their own bosses. And again, that implies being equipped with entrepreneurial skills. So it's a combination of the job seeker wanting to be entrepreneurial, realizing the potential, realizing the possibilities, looking out for opportunities to do something differently. Because the most important thing about entrepreneurs, of course, is that they mobilize the rest of all the other production factors. Entrepreneurs are the ones who, as they're trying to create opportunities, will employ more labor, will perhaps buy more machinery, and might even use our natural resources. Without entrepreneurs, economies stagnate. So that people need to realize that. At the same time, however, we need to create an environment which makes it attractive and appealing and possible to be entrepreneurial. And this ranges from access to very modest financing. Unfortunately, in this country, probably most countries, if you never had a bank account before, you're going to find it difficult to borrow money. In fact, almost ironically, if you never borrowed money before, you're going to find it difficult to borrow money. So we need to have a more, I believe, generous system whereby young entrepreneurs are granted seed money at an affordable rate. Very often in this country, you might be able to access a bit of money, funding, but the interest rate you're paying is onerous. And then you have to contend with very painful labor laws, which for a young, small, budding, nascent business can be awful to contend with. So as I say, we need the right environment. We need not just to pay lip service to the idea of entrepreneurship. It needs to start at school, even before primary school, where young children at school are inculcated with the kind of skills that enable us to think entrepreneurially, whether that be marketing or a bit of finance or a bit of accounting, a bit of economics. It needs to be encouraged from day one.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Professor André Roux, head of the Future Studies Programs at the University of Stellenbosch's Business School.